Welcome back, villagers, to another episode of Lotus Village Voices, the official podcast of the Lotus House Shelter.
We're your guest hosts for this month, Liz
and Danny,
and we're the community outreach coordinators of Lotus House.
We manage and organize thousands of volunteers a year who generously donate their time to the shelter.
This month, we would love to shed light on National Volunteer Month by highlighting one of our dedicated volunteers, Men in Pink. So, Danny, who do we have here today?
So we have two amazing people from Men in Pink. We have Daniel Ramos and Christoph Babka. How are you guys doing today?
Hola, buenos dias. Thank you for having us. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, doing fantastic. Thank you to be here.
Awesome.
So Men in Pink is a local volunteer organization that started here in Miami. Do you guys mind telling us what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually have a executive summary I put together.
Oh, wow.
So we
got
all the points covered. So we are dedicated to supporting women and children in need in Miami. We were created in November 2020, and we serve as a connector between local individuals interested in volunteering with opportunities to participate in social philanthropy. While open to everyone, our core members are male with the purpose of challenging traditional gender stereotypes of masculinity by representing kindness, compassion, and support to women and children. We seek to counterbalance negative perceptions or traumas by representing men who are dedicated to helping others. We wear pink as a symbol of unity and collective compassion, destigmatizing a color that's traditionally aligned with gender norms, thereby embracing diversity to improve the essential well-being of those we serve. That's a professional write-up right there.
That's, oh my gosh, that is so awesome. And who came up with, who both of you guys started the organization?
We have since day number one. Now, the story goes back to, I used to live in Boston, and I used to go to Rosie's Place shelter down there with my company, and I love it. For me, it was so fulfilling. So when we moved here in 2020, we decided to start doing this as a way to just keep giving back, right? I mean, so that's how we started. So this is, I think it was November 2020 when we kind of formalized things and we put together a group of people to come here for the first time.
Yeah, there are many, many prongs to it. So one, we were started during COVID. Mm-hmm. So we felt like nonprofits really had a struggle with volunteers, yeah, and people that were willing to leave their homes to help others while these places still needed staff and people to help. We also were in a community where we couldn't socialize or get together without it being socially distanced. Mm-hmm. So we wanted a way to connect people together so they could do social philanthropy, but in a safe, social distanced way. And our focus was primarily on women and children, knowing Lotus House is a shelter that really could use support during that time.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys find out about Lotus House?
Well, like I said, I mean, since I have done this at in Boston, so my immediate reaction here when we started looking here was to look for a women's shelter. And obviously we landed here, right? I mean, so it's a Google search, right? I mean, and, you know, you guys have a great program for volunteers, which was amazing because we immediately connected and were able to do the things that we do here, right? I mean, so it was just simply a follow-up of what we have been doing before, right? I mean, in another city.
So you guys mentioned you guys started volunteering in 2021. What was your first experience coming into Lotus House as volunteers?
Well, we first decided to do a dinner service, right? So we started, mm-hmm, as a fundraiser, and we just asked our friends and family. We got, you know, $1,750 raised. Wow. We had two volunteers come with us, and we just, you know, had to host a dinner and served. And mind you, this is when we were wearing face masks, protective plastic covering, full aprons, full head. But the, you know, you could see in our eyes that the people were smiling. And we took some photos of ourselves doing it. We engaged with the folks, and we were just like, this is so easy to just tell people, hey, we're doing this activity for, you know, 2 hours on a Saturday evening. Who wants to join us? And people that saw these photos online and just knew us said, hey, I want to get involved. Mm-hmm. So truly it was this grassroots growth. And so from the next day, next month, we decided to do a cookie decorating. And I learned that when you give children cookies and frosting, you wind up having more frosting than cookie.
Of course.
So, you know, the joy of just engaging with the kids, you know, especially back then when we were still distanced, but still, yeah, being present.
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing. And it just kind of grew just from word of mouth and grassroots. We haven't spent a penny ever on marketing or anything to get the word, yeah, out there. It's all just been through our network.
It's powerful. I mean, from the moment we stepped in, it was just like, it felt just like at home, right? I mean, it was just this, everyone is so friendly. We are not even in the building when people are already, you know, saying hi. And that includes, you know, the women and the kids that live here, right? I mean, and the staff, right? I mean, it's just like everyone knows us. It feels like at home, and that makes it beautiful, right? I mean, and I think this is one of the biggest motivations as well to keep coming, right? I mean, I was looking at some of the numbers, and then since 2021, we have come here 22 times.
Wow.
It's more than 125 people that have been involved. I mean, if we do an average, like if 2 or 3 hours, it's more than 7,000 hours of volunteering work that we have provided to these. So this is great.
Yeah, let me tell you, every time we talk about Men in Pink, everyone gets so excited that you guys are coming.
It feels wonderful.
I think this is one of the greatest things, is that we arrive here and everyone's so friendly, and you know, as respectful we need to be with, you know, with the people living here, they also recognize us, right? I mean, we wear pink for a reason, right? I mean, Christoph mentioned it represents it represents so many things: the femininity, love, acceptance. So it's a color that we made it our uniform for a reason, right? I mean, so it helped us a lot to relate to them, and you know, be more approachable, right?
Yeah, it's a bit twofold. On one side of it, we want to, again, like, destigmatize pink, show masculine people just being of service, having compassion. And the reason why we focus on women and children, on one part, a lot of times, most of our community is LGBT, so you get really focused on one niche community you want to support. And we wanted to branch away from that. We wanted to give honor and gratitude for the women who helped raise us and the children that we once were, that we didn't have support with. On the other side of it, too, you wind up having just a collective of manpower to support those that are in need and being of service. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, these women and children might have had a traumatic experience with male roles in their life in the past. Yeah. So to be wearing pink, to be on your knees doing a craft project, to be present and connected, is hoping to then counterbalance that perception of what's toxic masculinity or even just abuse that they've had in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And also, it's manpower, right? I mean, so it's a bunch of guys that come here to move boxes, to clean, to do the dirty work. And
we love it.
You know, because it's important, right? I mean, it represents something that I think that in many occasions I've helped the people here to do things that perhaps it would require a great, you know, more time or effort.
And that being said, we are not exclusive. We are called Men in Pink. We primarily are male, but we are open to absolutely everyone and anyone. We've had, you know, straight gentlemen join us. We've had women. We've had some children sign up as well, too. So predominantly, we want to be a masculine force, but also by being diverse and inclusive, that masculinity is open to all, not being closed off and saying, oh, we're just men only.
Yeah. And you, I guess you kind of touched on it, but why are you so focused on this diversity and breaking these gender stereotypes to help women and children specifically?
Personally, one of my biggest motivations that I think things that have been great for me is that I do this because I care about women and kids, and you know, having experienced domestic violence when I was a kid, and finding that by doing positive actions, you can actually turn something that, you know, perhaps wasn't a good experience into something positive, right? I mean, so the more we do this, or I guess the more I do this, that bad experience turns into something, you know, that is in the past, and there's forgiveness and there's love, right? I mean, so I think that it's about creating a bridge between, you know, women and men, right? I mean, but because of there has been perhaps some bad experiences before, right? I mean, and then through kindness and positive actions, we can change that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And also, you know, we want it to be something that other people in the group that wouldn't normally come can get exposed to. Mm. You know, again, like in our community, it's very easy to go to a gala, to a fundraiser, to throw money at a problem and feel good for a minute.
Yeah.
But our purpose is, like we specifically said, we are not fundraisers. Mm-hmm. We have very low overhead costs. We just take care of everything ourselves. We have donations that come through a boot camp that I do on Saturdays.
Awesome.
Where people, it's donation-based. And we get the t-shirts, we have the website. So we wanted as low of a barrier as entry for people to get involved.
Yeah.
And people that wouldn't take the time to research or apply or learn or understand or would be overwhelmed with the commitment there would be for volunteering. We say, hey, 2 or 3 hours once a month. If you're free, great. If not, we'll do something next month.
Yeah, you know, we do all this obviously for the cause, right? I mean, women and children. But by doing that, we're also helping ourselves,
yeah.
Right? I mean, so we tend to stress so much about things of our daily lives, work, family. And it's, you know, I feel like every time that, you know, we come here, this is some sort of a transformative or healing process in doing this, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, so I have experienced that when, you know, sometimes you arrive here, you're tired or you're like, okay, well, there's something bothering you. And by the time that you leave Lotus House, everything is gone, right? I mean, but it's just because you have done something good for others. So it's the power, the healing power. I call it the healing power of giving back, right? I mean, it cures everything more than therapy, more than medication, you know, I think. And that's what I believe we're also helping others understand, right? I mean, it's that by learning how to give back to the community that they can also help themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was one impactful moment that you had here at Lotus House? Like either it be volunteering or just like a little interaction you had with someone.
And just even from this past Easter egg hunt that we had done. I mean, the kids were going crazy. The eggs were going wild and everything. And there's this one family, young mother, about like 3 kids, you know, very young, and just playing with them. And one of them had, you know, a phone, and the phone was down on a table and she was staring at the phone. And I just walked up to the craft table and I got this little thing of stickers and I just started making a little bunny face. And she kind of looks at me and I'm like, can you help me? And the phone just disappeared. You know, like we were engaged, we're making something together, and she showed it to her mother, and then her sisters came over and whatnot, and the phone disappeared, right? Yeah. So that's the idea too, is the element of engagement. And as adults, we get sucked into our phones.
Yes.
So for me, obviously, so for me, having a silly craft project, having something like that focus and giving that attention to the kids, is so rewarding.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with so little, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So no, it's a lot of positive experiences, I would say.
What's some advice for someone who is interested in volunteering at Lotus House?
I would personally say go back to when you were a kid, what you love to do. Mm. You know, like if you wanted to be an astronaut, go to the planetarium and volunteer. Mm. If you loved going to the zoo, you know, do something with animal services. For me, like, I was a very imaginative kid. Mm-hmm. I love playing, and like my niece and nephew, when they were of that beautiful age between like 0 and like 12, we used to build forts out of like furniture in the living room. Cute. We would be at the park, and it's like, no, I'm not just going to sit on a bench and let them like play on the playground. I'm going to invent a obstacle course. Mm-hmm. And then we have 10 kids that are all doing it, mm-hmm. you know, so the engagement factor. So for me, working with women and children, being of service, doing things where I'm physically active was very important to me. If you're not outgoing and social or want to engage, there's like administrative support that mm-hmm. all organizations need. But just find something that when you're a kid made you really happy, because it's then like a hobby. You know, I loved crafts as a kid. I don't really get to make crafts as an adult, mm-hmm. but I can certainly come to Lotus House and do crafts with the kids.
Would you say it's kind of like healing your inner child?
Oh, yes. A child needs a lot of healing. Well,
I'll go back to what I was saying. I mean, it's just amazing that this has been transformative for myself, right? I mean, and I look back and there's no bad feelings, right, about it. Something that it was actually very traumatic, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and say, you know what? I just want to take that and turn it into something positive, right? You know, the question that you ask, I would say that if someone is coming in to volunteer for the first time, well, first of all, be respectful,
right? Of course, yes.
Number one. Wear pink. It's mandatory. I don't care if it is our shirts or not, but wear pink.
Pink only.
You know, have a smile. You know, sometimes it's not about reaching out and talking to everyone, because like I said, you have to be respectful, but just have a smile on your face.
And there's also the strength in numbers. I think that people get intimidated thinking like, I want to help out, but I have to find something, I have to sign up, I have to apply. So we created an element of social philanthropy, mm-hmm. where it's like, we'll do all the heavy lifting, we'll do all the work, you just got to show up. period. But we're not the only organization that does that. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that if you have an intention, it's only a thought until it becomes an action. And if you express that thought and find like-minded people, you have accountability for actually following through with it.
Of course.
So find a community of people that are interested in the same thing as you are. A lot of professional organizations have nonprofit, or even you can tell your company, hey, I want to put together something, and some people will sign up and get together. So with the power in numbers, it won't feel as isolating to help out. You'll be mm-hmm. part of a group helping a group.
Yeah, like a volunteering day or something for mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things that we can do, right? I mean,
it's and everyone should do something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like health and wellness and fitness. Like, even if you just say, I'm going to walk 30 minutes three times a week, everyone has to do something. So every individual should find some cause that's important to them. And whether it just be from the comfort of your home doing virtual support, or actually being physically there, or fundraising, everyone should have some cause outside of themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, just an element of philanthropy that goes into your day-to-day living.
Yeah.
We're so grateful for having you guys and having such a wonderful organization. Like, you guys come through every time. You guys pull through.
We love it.
We are so appreciative of you guys. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for sharing
all these amazing, insights and thoughts and experiences that you guys shared with us.
Yeah. And we're super excited to grow together as you build the Children's Village.
There's
so many opportunities. I'll probably want to just live there and play games all day. With you.
We'll save you a spot.
Yeah. It's like...
We're just saying thank you. And I think I personally want to use this platform to say thank you to our volunteers. Because without them, we wouldn't be here, right? Thank you for having us.
Of course. Yes.
Thank you so much.
And if anyone wants to join Men in Pink, our website is meninpink.org. We're on Instagram @meninpink.org. And we welcome everyone to sign up for our email blast. We send monthly emails with opportunities for volunteering, for expanding other organizations. We've grown to about 800 people on our Instagram, and 300 our subscribers. And literally, if you're just willing to join up with some fun people and have a great time helping others for a couple hours, we welcome all.
That's awesome. And then you guys can come to Lotus House with Men in Pink.
But yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks again to Men in Pink for sitting down and discussing with us their volunteer experiences.
We are so grateful to all our volunteers and the support and the time that you guys give us.
But you know how many volunteers we had last year?
Tell us, Liz.
Over 3,650 volunteers.
No way. Wow. That is so, warming to hear that we've had that many people help us here at Lotus House.
That's crazy. People that just come out and just donate their time.
Yeah. No, it's so wonderful to hear from our dedicated volunteers. Actually, speaking of volunteers, Liz, how can people get involved here at Lotus House?
Basically, it's pretty easy. What you're going to do is go online and go ahead and put lotushouse.org/volunteering.
What is it?
lotushouse.org/volunteering.
Okay.
From there, you're going to go ahead and look on our page. We have 2 volunteer agreements. Either, if you choose if you're a minor or an adult, go ahead and sign it over and then send it to us via email to volunteering@lotushouse.org.
One more time.
volunteering@lotushouse.org.
Awesome.
And once you send us over that email in that same body, just send us what dates and times you're available. That way we're able to coordinate with you much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Liz and I are the ones who check those emails and respond back to you.
So yeah, can't wait to see y'all.
Yes, looking forward to it. Seeing you at Lotus House soon.
Happy National Volunteer Month. Bye.
Bye.